Welcome to our new series for this few weeks called Family Matters, and Family Does Matter. Amen. And we just love our families around here, and it's just going to be an awesome, awesome, fun series. Man, I tell you what can I say? Can I say, like, we've had church, huh? Awesome, awesome. We're just so glad that you're here today. If this is your first time here with us, make sure that I get a chance to meet you after church. We'll be around out underneath the tent and come and enjoy a time with our family, our church family, as we get to have a great time. And we hope that you have fun today, because you know what? Church is supposed to be fun. Okay, I'm glad half of y'all think that. Church is supposed to be fun. Yeah. Amen. There's the rest of you. So it should be the funnest place that we go all week long, and we just love to be a part of what God is doing. So this morning, I'm going to try to be brief with what I'm going to say today. But as we start out this Family Matters series, the Lord really started putting on my heart, because our topic was about parenting. And I just really felt like, you know, that we could talk about parenting in so many different ways. But as I began to just pray into it, the Lord began to shine some light on some things that I thought was so important. And Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 18:21 says, your words are weighty. They have power to bring life or release death. And a talkative person will reap the consequences. I want to read that again. Your words are weighty. They have power to bring life or to release death. You're more familiar with us, the saying life and death is in the power of the tongue. What I speak has so much weight, has so much. I'm speaking into the atmosphere. You know, one thing I regret in my lifetime, if I could go back and do things over, I would take some words back. Can I get a better amen? I would save some words that I have spoken, things that I've said that I wish I hadn't said. Because once we speak them, they're forever spoken. But the Lord does redeem us, because he's a good God. Can I get a better amen? But we need to be very cautious with our tongue. The scripture tells us that the tongue is the most deadly thing. It's got poison in it, and it can speak poison. But guess what? We could focus on the negative of that and think about we could speak poison. But we also says it's life and death. Come on, somebody shout life. Life. And what I speak over my family really, really matters, because my family matters. Today, as we were preparing for this and over the week, I just kept thinking about our generations that are gone by. In the baby boomer generation, if you would come, baby boomer generation, And the baby boomer generation, they're the ages of 1946 to 1964. She's on the tail end of that. And increased birth rates were obvious during the post-war. One thing that set baby boomers apart from other generations is the fact that almost from the time they were conceived, baby boomers were divided into segments and analyzed and pitched by modern marketers and increased numbers of babies that proved that there was an economic boom. And so they were used really for marketing. But in the baby boomers generation, I'm going to just go to the next one first, and I'll come back to those. There was Generation X. They were referred to as the unknown. They were referred to as the lost generation. They were the first generation of black kids exposed to lots of daycare, divorce, and known for generations with the lowest voting percentages. They were a generation with high levels of skepticism and what's in it for me attitudes. Then there were the Generation Y, or millennials. They were born in 1984 to 2004. They grew up with all and seen all. They've been exposed to all the kinds of crazy early childhood things known to the entitlement generation. Me, 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 often referred to as lazy, entitled, narcissistic. They still live with their parents. They grew up in electronic field, society, digital technology, and a selfie generation which shaped their identities and created lasting political and social and cultural attitudes. The millennials made up almost 80 million Americans. 80 million Americans, according to Forbes, the generation of millennials. Then there came the Generation Z. that make up 25% of almost all of the U.S. population, making them larger than their cohorts than the baby boomers and the millennials. Generation Z are primarily the children of parented by the Generation X, and they also have parents who are of the millennials. They're the least likely to believe in such a thing as the American dream. They're independent, and that independence leads them into entrepreneurial desires after seeing their parents and their older siblings struggling in the workforce. In the baby boomer generation, they retired early. In the Z generation, they don't know if there will ever be a retirement. Both the September 11 terrorist act and the Great Recession have greatly influenced their attitudes of this generation in the United States. Since the oldest members of the Generation Z quit young as children when 9/11 happened, most of them remember but don't remember about 9/11. Most of this generation live with the thoughts of economic crash, and also we have been in war since the day they were born. This generation is the generation that's taking the load from the baby boomers to now. They're carrying the weight of words spoken. We have labeled generations with such things in our life. We have said for the baby boomers, they're just a bunch of hippies, a bunch of Woodstockers, carefree, do what they want to do. They were divided, they were separated, they were extremely liberal or extremely conservative. They separated and were put in separation, and they were expected out of their groups of people to live according to their unsaid law, the baby boomers. Generation X, they were part of the sexual revolution. They birthed having multiple affairs, and it was okay. They birthed homosexuality. They birthed all of these things. They were part of the open sexual revolution. They were forgotten, but at the same time, they lived like an underground society. It was for this generation that was born the internet and all the things that just come flying into our homes, and they got labeled as the unknowns. They had smaller families. Ironically, birth control became very popular at that time. We went from booming to no babies. And then we have the selfie generation. When you look up millennials, one of the pictures on the photo was a selfie picture, not a picture of a family, not a picture of a group, but a selfie picture. A selfie picture. This is about me. It's the me generation. Still living with their parents, not going to work, living all for themselves, having increase of knowledge, having an increase of ability to get online and have the world at their fingertips, but not having the ability to launch their own destiny. They were called lazy and narcissistic, and they had an entitlement attitude. Then the Z generation. They don't believe in the American dream. They're a very large part. They are larger than any of these groups together. But the lies and the labels have taken their destiny. I want to talk today about labels that we put on people. Labels we put on generations. Labels we put on our kids. Labels we put on the next. I'm guilty myself. I'm guilty of myself of talking about the millennials, the millennial generation. My kids are part of the millennial generation and part of Generation Z. And I've said, hey, these millennials, they're just lazy. These millennials, they have no ambition. They don't want it. We speak things over people that are not of God. And studying these things, I found out as we talk about the lazy, narcissistic generations as one generation turns their nose down at the other. Let me tell you why. this generation, the millennials, are living like they're living because these two generations, they came out of the war and they started getting everything they wanted at their fingertips. And so they wanted what they wanted for their kids to be better than what they had. So they raised up a generation of spoiling them to have everything they wanted. We don't care if you what people think about you in the sense of what matters, morals and things like that. We just want to make sure you're accepted. So we're going to buy you the best cars. We're going to put the best shoes on you. We're going to make you look the best because it doesn't matter really what you are. It matters really what I look like to my peers. I want my peers to think that my kids have it all. And I want my peers to accept me and think I really got it together because I've given my kids everything they want. So that makes me acceptable. When really what matters to God? What matters to God? It doesn't really matter what matters to God because what matters is mostly what people say about us. We're more concerned with the labels that are put on us than we are with what God says we are. But who does God say that I am? Let's get off the negative and talk about the positive. 1 Peter 2, he said, "So put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all slander, like newborn infants longing for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." How many has tasted that the Lord is good? Come on, is there any witnesses in the house that the Lord is good? Yes, he is. Come on, somebody say, the Lord is good. And as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen, precious for yourself, like a living stone built up as a spiritual house to be holy, a priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands a scripture, "Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, a chosen precious. And whosoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that is the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. The stumble because they disobey the word that has destined to do. But you, all right, here we go. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are chosen. So we take the label off of you of what the world would want to say, and we say, "Hey, baby boomer, your miracle days are not over." We say, "Hey, baby boomer, we believe it's like you can produce babies in the world, you can produce babies in the spirit." We say, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." I wish I had some crowns today. I wish I had some crowns to place on their head because I want to take off the label that the world has put on you and I want to put on a new label. I want to put a label of hope, a label of peace, a label of joy, a grandma that knows how to rock a baby and tell them about Jesus. Let's turn the corner here. We're going to take off the label that you're forgotten because we serve a God, Jimmy, that says, "I've never forgotten." And when it's all spilt out on the ground and when life is over and it seems like it's all done, but then God remembered. So come out from the shadows of what people said about you. Come out from under that rock where people said that you're forgotten and that you're a nobody and you never will. And I say, you're going to prosper. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be amazing because you're chosen. You're a royal priesthood. To the most talked about, to the most offended. This generation lives offended. They live offended because they're constantly being mud thrown at them about you millennials. I want you to pay attention because of all the stuff I read, they have the worst name calling than any generation. Lazy, narcissistic, entitled, no good, beat down. When actually the millennials have the most knowledge and wisdom and smarts of any generation ever before. Yeah. I was studying the thing about this generation of millennials. While we call them smart, we call them ignorant because and call them lazy, actually they're brilliant. While I'm out working like a crazy person trying to do something, they sit on the computer and get it done in 5 minutes. I was thinking about that because while we call them lazy, they call us worn out. Because we say work harder, they say work smarter. You know, in my office is a bunch of books that I used to study from. I've got all kinds of books that I don't ever use anymore. Why? Because I got a computer now. And I can look up all of those books with one word. They all come up. Because this generation has brought in a generation that knows how to work smarter, not harder. But yet they've been called lazy, narcissistic, selfie generation. But you know what I think is funny? I think it's funny because if you get on Facebook, there's more old people on Facebook than there is young people. So quit calling them names. While you're scrolling on Facebook and talking about them, you're on the Facebook they created. You would have never had Facebook had it been for them. So let's stop calling them names. Let's start calling them holy and blessed and amazing and world changers. Let's take away the label of lazy and let's put on the label amazing. I find in this culture of millennials that they're allowing, because they've been labeled, they're allowing their artistic abilities to shine. They don't really care what you think. There's some good in that because the world has always cared what everybody thought. Maybe this generation will say, we don't really care what you think. When we turn the tide and we anoint them for what God's called them to be, they're going to walk in things that we've never seen before. The scripture tells us this, that Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'll tell you what, greater things shall you see and do. This is the generation that's going to see a revival like we've never seen before. Yesterday, we were praying with our lead team, and we were praying over the young people, and my daughter, this daughter here, said something very powerful. I had not thought of it. She said, I'm very jealous over us always praying for the next generation. It's as if this generation gets blessed. This generation, we say, oh, anoint them, use them, God bless them. But our generation gets labeled. We're turning something in the atmosphere here today. We're changing the perception today because we're reaching for a generation of world changers. And from our college students to our babies in the nursery, we want them to know who God created them to be, and we want them to live above and not beneath. We want to bless them. We want to hold them up before the Lord. We want to speak life over their life. I'm guilty. I'm guilty as a father of saying, y'all clean your room, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room. Now, I want to find somebody that's the oldest person in here. Well, that's in the older category. Who's going to be brave and raise their hand? All right, thank you, Pop. Did you ever have to tell your kids to clean their room? Yeah. Nothing's changed. We're still telling our kids to clean their room. We've always told our kids to clean the room, and they have always not cleaned their room. So why are they the lazy generation? So when you're saying clean your room, why don't you go look in your closet and see if your closet is clean? Why don't you go look in your room and see if your room is clean? Because there's been times that I've said, Haley, go clean your closet, and walk into mine, and it looked like a bomb went off in it. Anybody here today? Yeah. Because labels matter. Am I telling you to tell your not to make your kids clean their room? No. I reposted something this morning of a military guy who said, if you make up your bed in the morning, it'll make your whole day better. I believe if you get up in the morning and make your bed, then you're going to learn how to take care of the little things. Then you're going to know how to take care of the big things. If you don't make up your bed, you're probably going to feel defeated all day long whenever the little thing comes around. But if you got your bed made up, at least when you get back home, one thing was done for the day. So I believe in that. Matter of fact, when my wife gets up and goes to work early in the morning, I know one thing. If I have that bed made, Mama Sue, if I have that bed made, I'm going to get some sugar when she gets home. I have an alternative motive of making up the bed. I want it to be just right because you know what? That makes her happy, so I make the bed up. But you know what? My kids don't make their beds up unless I tell them. But you know what? Instead of me yelling, I lead by example. Instead of calling names, I need to learn to lead by example. I'm preaching to myself today because I've been guilty of just saying lazy, narcissistic, blah, 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 blah. Putting labels on them that God didn't put on them. Generation Z. Let me tell you about Generation Z. This generation is in the turnaround generation. Go look this up. Don't take my word for it. But this generation is going back to church. The 40-something percent of this generation desires to be in the house of the Lord. And I hear people say, I talked to a guy yesterday, said, well, we just lost our generation. They're gone. No, they're not gone. Quit speaking that over. This generation has seen the failure of things before, and they said, we want more than what we had before, and we know how to get it. They want authenticity. They want something that's real. They're tired of Hollywood. They're tired of all of that stuff, and they want something that's tangible. Amen. A generation of believers. Let's speak it over their lives. Let's take grandparents. Why don't you take your grandbabies and speak over their life? Why don't you take your kids and say, hey, I believe God's going to, I apologize first. Let's start there. I had this on my notes. I'm getting out of my notes. I apologize first for the things I've spoken over your life. Let's repent first. I've repented to my kids. I may have to repent some more after preparing this message. I repent for speaking things over your life. I repent for saying things the Bible says neither give place to the devil. We better be careful what we say over our kids because we may be giving the devil a word to work on. Come on. But if we speak life over them, we speak goodness over them, we speak blessing over them. I don't know who told this story. Ashley, where's your husband at? Did I just see him back there? He went outside to help. I heard the story about y'all. I heard him that he tells his son every day, you're Superman. You're awesome. You can run faster than anybody else. You can climb over a wall. You can win. You're a winner. Now, he's about this high, and he likes to eat like his daddy, and he's probably not the fastest, but he's speaking life over him. He's speaking life over him. He's saying, you're a winner. You're going to conquer the world. You're going to change the world around you. Now, he could say, hey, you ate too much cereal, boy. You ain't never going to do nothing. Or he can say, God has anointed you for a time like this. God has appointed you for this. Ooh, I feel the Holy Spirit in here. God's appointed you for greatness. But what about when they're being bad? Spank them and bless them. Yeah. But don't curse them.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Let me say it one more time. Spank them and then bless them. Listen. My daddy used to wear my behind out. You hear me? Listen, we didn't get no time out. We knew Jesus had just showed up. Because I know Jesus was there because I was praying, Jesus! Jesus! I remember one time in church, I was talking to my friends in church, and my daddy was sitting on the other side of the church, and I looked around, I caught his eye, and he had his eyebrow up about right his hairline. And I was like, oh, I feel conviction in my life. I feel God moving. I went down the altar, and I prayed, and I cried out to God, and I just said, oh, Lord, I love you so much. And I got up from the prayer room, went out to dinner. We got home. My dad took me in the room. He said, son, I thought that was awesome that you prayed today. That was amazing. But I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to talk in church. So lay over that bed. He showed me the way more clearly. I'm not saying today that we don't need to discipline our kids. The Bible says, beat them with a rod and they shall not die. No, that's not popular. That's not New King James. But I know that there needs to be discipline in their life. But let me tell you something, though. There needs to be equal love in their life.
Amen.
There needs to be this time where you set them in your lap and you tell them how good they are and what God has created them to be and how they're going to conquer the world. But let me adjust something here today. We say to our kids, oh, you can be the president if you want to be the president. You can be a doctor if you want to be the doctor. What if we said this to our kids? What is God calling you to be? Because I believe that whatever God's called you to be, that you can be. And anything outside of what God called you to be is going to be a miserable road. But if you walk in the goodness of God and the purpose of God and the hope of the Lord, you don't have to be the best athlete at school. You don't have to run the fastest. You don't have to jump the highest. You don't have to shoot the most points. You don't have to run for a touchdown. You don't have to swim as good as everybody else. And you don't have to be on the golf team. But you want to do what God has called you to do. Because you can conquer many things. I'm about to finish. I'm trying to preach fast. Y'all can be seated. Thank you. As we raise our families, let's speak life and let's impart the goodness of God. Let's take the labels off that society puts on them. Let me tell you something. Teachers, public school teachers, private school teachers, parents, be careful what you say over your kids. Be careful what you say over your classroom. Teachers, don't go to your class and say, I got the worst students ever. Because tomorrow, guess what? They're going to fulfill that prophecy. They're going to fulfill that prophecy. Evan said, amen. They're going to fulfill that prophecy. Sometimes we don't take the time to find out what kids are called to do. Now, I'm just going to give a little, this is a Marvin thing. You can take this or leave it. We spend so much of time trying to create our kids to be what we want them to be instead of what God wants them to be. Now, if I was in charge, this is what I would want to do. I'd want to take our kids and put them on a track that says, this is what God's called you to be. Now, let's walk that out. They may not be the greatest at math. It's okay. They may not be the greatest at English. That's all right. And I told our team this yesterday. I live with a lot of insecurities in my life. And a lot of insecurities because well-meaning people put things on me that was not God. I grew up with dyslexia. I couldn't read. I struggled. I had a hard time in life. I was even in my late teens, early 20s, I wouldn't even write a check because I was afraid that I'd spell a word wrong. And then whoever I gave the check would laugh at me. So I lived intimidated. I lived intimidated instead of walking in the gift of what God called me to be. It was at the moment that somebody began to speak into my life and they began to say, this, let me shine a light on your life of who God's called you to be and to walk in the anointing and the purpose that God's called you to be. I stand here today to tell you that I still have a problem with dyslexia. Matter of fact, that's so funny because I can read a measuring tape. I used to work construction, and it would be hilarious because I'd be on the ground, and they'd call out, hey, 39, and I'd cut it 93. I'd hand it back up to them. They'd say, that's a little long. Try again. I heard the right word. I just saw it different on the tape. Learn to laugh at yourself. Learn to walk through life and say, hey, we're not all perfect, but we're chosen. We're not all, everybody can't do it the same way. I'm never going to go to the moon, but nobody can do what I can do. And I'm called to do what I can do. This is my place in life. And bring your kids to know this is what God has called you to do. Speak life. Break generational curses in the lives of the enemy. Your daddy was a drunk, so you're going to be a drunk. You'll never amount to anything, son. Break that word curse. Don't even talk about the past generation. Say, hey, I'm healing this generation. I break those word curses off of our life where daddy was a drunk, but you're going to be a child of God. And right here, we stand between daddy's broken down life, and we have a cross standing here. And at the foot of the cross, we break every yoke of bondage, every lie of the enemy, and I'm never going to be those things that the devil says that I am. I'm breaking generational curses. Come on, somebody. I'm breaking generational curses. I'm not going to be a liar because somebody else was a liar. I'm not going to be a heathen because somebody else was a heathen. I'm going to be a child of God. Why? Because he died on the cross and he has chosen me for this day and he has called me for this purpose. And he said, you're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be blessed and you're going to prosper. Amen. Speaking life today. Come on, this is good. Last thing I'm going to say is your daddy may have been a drunk, but your daddy, who's your daddy? But your daddy is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, who's your daddy today? Are you going to live with past or are you going to live with future? I'm going to forgive the past and I'm going to redeem the future. I'm going to say Jesus is my daddy. I know who my daddy is. And because I know who my daddy is, what once was broken in my life has been restored. Anybody here today? And I'm going to speak life over my kids. Lord, I'm glad my kids don't believe everything I was. They're going to be. Amen. Somebody was telling me one time, it's like, I can't believe how open you are with your kids about your life. I said, really? I find that strange. Well, you don't really want them to know you as a drug addict and you as a running the streets and a dope head and a whoremonger and all the other things, do you? I said, well, I'm telling them that so that I can tell them this is not what God created you to be. We're breaking generational curses. We're not promoting generational curses. I'm just going to say something that's going to mess with some of y'all. You need to quit hiding your head in the sand and pretending. Well, I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen. Well, it did. It did happen, and when you start submitting those things to God and breaking those strongholds, guess what? You're going to reveal the goodness of God over the next generation. But long as you just sweep it under the cover, like, oh no, I was perfect, nothing ever happened in my life. You're just going to keep on sweeping it under the carpet. And the next generation, they're going to sweep it under the carpet. And the next generation, they're going to sweep it under the carpet. But when we're going to reveal it, and then we're going to say, devil, you're a liar. I'm talking about parenting your kids with honesty and transparency. Amen. And having some prayer meetings where you break some strongholds. Well, Pastor, you know, I just don't want all that to come up. Well, it's up. Yeah. It's already come up. Yeah. And it's a cancer. Yes, it is. And it's eating at your life day in and day out. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now. And that cancer is eating at your life. It's eating away at the truth of God. And it's eating away at the purpose of God. And I'm speaking to those situations. I'm speaking to fear. I'm speaking to doubt. I'm speaking to when the enemy says, well, don't ever get married because you're going to have a messed up marriage. Don't ever do this because you're going to have this. No, listen. That's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm living in the blessings of God. Anybody here today? It's got quiet in here all of a sudden. It's got quiet in here. Because you know what? We don't want to deal with generational curses. Oh, we'll take a generational blessing. Then my dad was a wealthy man. I'm going to get that generation blessing. But what about generational curses? Because the scripture tells us that the sins of the father are to the third and fourth generation. Except for... they can't cross the bloodline. Anybody here today? So we're breaking the bloodline. We're breaking all the labels. We're taking the labels off of people. You're not Generation X. If you are, you're Generation Extra. I don't know, I just made that up. You're not the label that the world has given you. You're better than that. You're the smartest generation that's ever lived. You're the most creative generation that's lived. You're the most prosperous generation that lived. I like this brother right here. He done tore his generations up. I'm going to tear the rest of them up. Yeah. Tear up the labels the world's putting on you. Tear up the labels the world's putting on your kids and say, we're a victorious generation. We're a generation saved by grace. Declare over your kids the goodness of God. Come on here, buddy. You can stay in, Easton. Come here. I'm Evan. Hey, look, I call my own kids by the wrong name. Don't get offended. Take this mic, and I want you to declare. I want you to speak a declaration that you say every morning with your family over y'all. You ready? All right. Come on, loud and strong, like a man of God that you are. Wait, start over. 1, 2, 3. I'm living in a perfect health zone. Somebody, come on. Nothing is impossible. Come on, somebody. Stand to your feet. I don't know what he said, but it was awesome. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Be careful what you speak over your kids. I don't want to guilt you this morning. We don't believe in that around here. I don't believe in guilting or shaming or condemning people. That's not of God. Anything you feel of that is not of God. But you better speak life over their little lives. Sometimes I was misunderstood as a little boy. I'm kind of protective, like that little one that was right here. Me and him have, we buddies. As a matter of fact, first time I heard his mom and daddy call him Evanator, I got mad. Because I didn't take it in the right way that they were saying it. I was like, hey, don't call him no Evanator. Because I was thinking of Terminator. I was thinking, let him be wild. Let his personality shine. Don't conform him into the image that you want everybody to think good about you in. Because it was Peter, that was slicing off the ears of the apostle because nobody else had the guts to. He was the Evanator. But it was also him that had the guts to stand up on the day of Pentecost and say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. Now, I like John too. It's not my personality. But John was the more timid one. He was the quieter one who had his head pressed to the heart of the Father. But that didn't make him greater than the preacher. Right. Wouldn't it be a boring world? Wouldn't it be a boring world if we were all the same? You see what, sometimes this little bit of energy that's bottled up in some of these kids, and we start saying, look, I hate when I hear a parent. I'll call a parent down in the middle of a grocery store. I don't even know. Oh, you bad. Won't you say that over your kid? They might be not doing what you want them to do. Discipline them, but don't call them bad. You're labeling them. Am I preaching anybody today? This is the best parenting message I got. Because I could tell you all the things I've done in parenting wrong. But I say lean to the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Speak the word of God over their lives. Encourage them to be that all God called them to be. Take the labels off of them. Wait a minute, let me do another one because we're just thinking about the bad. What about the ones that are shy and quiet? We're always trying to drag them out, put them on stage. You know, I'm going to use this quiet, shy one right here. She hates this. Come on. Get up here. Stand in the light. Look at that light. You shine, girl. Look, maybe God didn't call him to be on the stage. Maybe God didn't call him to be in the light. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody loves like this baby loves. She's 16 years old. I'm really going to embarrass her now. She's 16 years old, and she kisses me and hugs on me and loves on me. Let them be who God created them to be. Come here, Holly. I want them to be who God created them to be. We used to call this one the bossy one. But she was bossy because she had to be. We was always giving her our kids to watch. When 12 years old, she was raising a family. But really, this is the bossy one. She really is a bossy one. And she's a good bossy. Sometimes she'll call me and say, "Dad, I need to talk to you." And she'll just straighten me out with wisdom. And I'm going, "How are you so wise?" Bossy. 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 See, now y'all are labeling me. I just got through preaching about that. See, some people don't even hear when you're preaching. We all got our gifts. Come here, Angel. I want to just share a little something with you. Go stand over there on the other side, over there, Heather. Not you. Angel, I'm sorry. I'm confused. I'm not a very good instructor. All right. So before the worlds were framed, I'm just about done. Peyton's going to kill me. I told him we'd be out. Before the worlds were framed, God ordained Angela Marvin. I got two more back there, all girls. He ordained. He put into action the ministry of the future. And then he said this, "I'm going to give you stewardship over them to launch them like arrows into the purpose of God." So what I say matters. This is funny, and I'm not picking on my kids when I say this because I really don't care. But none of them are athletes. None of them. I said, y'all, and they get all this pressure. Like, you need to play ball in school. It's good for your college. And this is how, they're like, here comes the ball. I tried my best to make boys out of them. I put them in deer stands. They'd see a deer. Oh, look, let's take a picture of it. But any given evening at my house, you're going to hear a cello playing. You're going to hear guitars playing. You're going to hear music coming up. You're going to hear poetry being written on pages. You're going to hear the song of heaven because that's who they are. And I don't need them to be the best athlete. I don't need them to look good for me at school. I need them to look good for Jesus and fulfill the purpose of God on their life.